Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today's actually Tuesday, even though it feels like a Monday. It's May 30th. We're almost done with May. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome, everyone.
Tori, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you look rested.
Yes. I've got a new moisturizer.
Oh.
So I think that's why. So hands up. Actually, I have four new moisturizers because, ladies, if you don't know, and gentlemen, as you get older, you need like 18,000 chemicals to keep yourself.
Oh, really? So should I use those too?
Honey, I could get you started. You don't even want
really?
To know. I spent hours on this thing. And as a Buddhist, I'm studying. Literally, as I'm listening to Pema, she's like, and you know, the antithesis of Buddhism is if you buy moisturizer cream. And I'm like, fuck. Because she's like, not only are you denying that age and change happens, you know,
right.
And I'm like, well, you know what? But she's like, I still buy it, though. You know,
right.
She's still
exactly.
cute.
Exactly. Tell her the creator actually created something, almost everything, but left some for us to actually accomplish. So if we can improve our lives, what the hell, Buddhism or not? Right.
Right. And I think, you know, Pema's like, whatever you have to do to make yourself meditate a little bit better. And in fact, for me, if that's some beautiful vitamin C, you know, hyaluronic acid, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Men, maybe you too. Then maybe that's what it is.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
What about exfoliating? Do you do that too?
Honey, of course. Now, yeah. I really do it once a week with a really nice Kiehl's men's facial gel.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit of that exfoliant. I mix it and it's like I've gone to the spa. And I'm in the shower, and it's like a thing.
Awesome.
I'm going to buy it for you. You're going to love it.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get to our guests in just a moment. We're actually expecting another guest. But this is going to be a lively show. And I know Jim can't sit for 2 minutes without talking, but I'm going to make him.
I'm very proud
of you. Because at this age, you need to learn how to settle down and calm down.
Never.
A bit.
Never.
I know. I'm like that, too. But
never.
No, I love Jim. Anyway, I just wanted to bring up the Tiger Woods arrest.
Yes.
And he was arrested not for drunk driving.
Yeah,
he
we should get this out of here. Cause
for breathalyzer, he had no alcohol.
I got to be honest. I think that's really important. So today we learned that he was 0.00. He was actually not driving. He was sitting in a car parked with his seatbelt on, sleeping.
Right.
And he's on a lot of prescription medicine he's had four back surgeries. This isn't someone that was wasted. And the mugshot really gave that impression, I have to say.
He does look pretty high.
Yeah, and as a pop culture like person that finds the importance of optics here is really important, because if you don't read the next day, you think this guy was totally stoned, totally wasted.
Right, right. But let me say this. He said that he told the police he is on medication.
Sure.
So it's not like he just took it and didn't know what to expect. So, you know, you just kind of go.
Saying this.
And he obviously had been danger to traffic, even though he wasn't pulled over, but he wasn't parked either. It was sort of like his headlights, his taillights were on, the brake lights.
Totally. And I just have to say this. Did he make a bad decision? Yes. On the scale, though, from a 1 to 10, I thought the dude was a total loser, to be honest. Like, seeing that mugshot, which isn't good, but knowing that, like, he had made a mistake, that's like a 6 compared to a 10.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought he was wasted and driving erratically because of that mugshot.
Right.
All I'm saying is, in the age of photographs, that's an important this is a lesson, because the first thing you saw was, oh, he was wasted, right? Is that not what you thought too?
Right.
Yeah. So what's important is, once you get, that's why you worry when Trump says stuff like fake news, or you worry about the facts, just having the optics, which apparently he likes having a lot of pictures in his news briefing, whatever. Just having pictures isn't enough. You need information, because now we know he had no alcohol. That's just a different story now.
Right. It is a different story, but
it's still
the same
a bad
time,
story.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I understand. But he did. He made a mistake, but not the one we all thought he did.
Right, right. No, absolutely. And you got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, I think this is a good microcosm of what you can do when you misread a photo and you don't have the background.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So.
All right. Well, we might as well bring in our guests now so we can continue the conversation.
Yes.
So they don't have to go,
I'm
what
not
the
speak
hell
anymore.
Are we here for?
I'm going to get them to talk.
If we don't get to talk.
Yes.
So we have Jim, Christina, and Russ Avison in the studio. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Well, thanks. I was told to be shut up and sit here quietly.
Exactly, but you can't even do that.
I love
it, impossible.
Yeah. He can't follow directions. I love a man like that.
No, this is good. No, I just thought I would test you a little bit because I'll tell you why. I'm like that too. I can't sit in one place for 2 seconds.
But who says you should?
Well, you know what? Sometimes to... You know, I'll tell you why. Because when I take a break, it means a cigarette. So a lot of breaks, a lot of cigarettes, that's not a good thing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I have to constantly, like, move around.
I see.
When I run shows here, I can't stay in the office. I keep going downstairs and all this stuff.
Do you have one of those desks that you can stand up and walk on the treadmill at the same time?
That's true, right? I should get that. Yeah, I should get that. This is the voice of Russ Abison. Russ, welcome to the show. You made it right
on
time. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, he's wearing a beautiful green. But if we had made a video show today, you would have been transparent with our green screen. So the thing is this, is that every time you leave the house, folks, think about it. Am I going to see a green screen today?
It's not his shirt, though. It's his face.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. I was not feeling well this morning.
So hangover.
You would just disappear on the green screen.
That's right.
All we'd see is his little fingers.
We've all been there.
Hope. That's all they see.
Oh, yeah. More than once.
Well. Now, Jim Christina hosts,
yes, sir.
Hosts the Writer's Block with Bobby Bell here.
And Russ.
And, well, I was going to bring that up, but I was just going to say the show is on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific right here on LA Talk Radio. And Russ does come in, what, once every month?
Fourth Thursday of every month.
Fourth Thursday. So if you want to catch that, please put it on your calendar because...
That's the one to catch, too, is
exactly.
The fourth Thursday.
That's the show
remember,
that we want to listen to.
Exactly. The rest of it, well, it's just Jim and Bobby.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. But they're tolerable.
It's just like, well, Sam's here, but we'd rather listen to Tori.
Exactly. Well, you can say that. That's fine. I've taken worse...
Score.
Wow. So now, how long have you guys known each other?
5 years.
Really?
How old is Bella?
5 years.
Yeah.
Bella is who? The horse
dog?
Or the dog?
My dog.
Okay.
Oh.
I figured
horses.
It's a dog or a horse.
She's getting to be the size of a horse, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And
I was
really?
I was
wow.
chastised immensely.
Really?
Last time Russ was over.
Too heavy?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She's a golden, and they tend to get fat.
Yeah,
real
and their
fast.
Knees are bad.
They
you got to be careful.
Right?
So yeah. we have she's on a diet already, but now she's gone to my wife takes her out to the backyard and lets her cruise.
Mm. That's good.
She's gone to the dogs, as they would say.
No, it's
boom. Okay. That one sucked big time. I was hoping to get a laugh
get
out
a
of that
roll.
One. Yeah.
That's a long stretch for not much payoff.
I'm keeping my fucking mouth shut today, man.
Okay. We'll just have a conversation.
I think my edible just started working a little too early today.
There we go.
Hey, I have a question for you, Sam. And I was thinking about this on the way in, and you just used the word fuck. So
yes.
I know that we can use that on this show. Yeah.
But why, right?
Well, but yeah, well.
Well, we might because we deal with the kind of people.
Right. Well, our
I'll tell you why, because we can.
Highbrow.
Yeah. We say it because we can, you know.
Amen. Amen.
But my question is,
yes.
Now with the new administration and lots of things changing, including some looks at the FCC by the Trump administration, do you think that that's going to have an effect on what can actually happen here? Yes.
Well, we're not regulated by FCC because
right.
I'll tell you why. We're not using the public airwaves, so we don't
right.
expose people to this stuff. They have to choose to listen
right.
to us. So that's one thing. But yeah, I mean, the FCC is really the public airwaves. But here we're not using anything public. Right?
And I got to so, be honest, right. I think all these things that Trump has so many other things that he hasn't done that he has
right.
to worry about.
Right.
I feel like that's going to be like.
He has
right.
the potential for so much more damage.
Yeah, so much more. Like, I think the tax, right. the infrastructure, the healthcare, he's got all those big daddies
yeah.
on the table. The FCC is going to be like the last in his problems.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and besides, he's not going to start going after everybody that says fuck every time, you know? He's still got porn to deal with first before he gets to,
well,
word fuck.
He came home from Europe, and the first thing he heard was his son-in-law was trying to deal with the Soviets. And he said fuck. I'm sure he did.
I mean, remember, like, I'm sure he said fuck a lot. But remember, this is the president. Like, when a couple weeks before the election, we hear him say, "Grab him by the pussy." Right. That's also in pop culture. That word, even you, the worst of Bill Clinton, you can't hear him say, "I want to grab." Well, maybe you could. No, but I'm just saying,
in private, possibly.
In private,
not with Hillary, though.
Exactly. But when you hear,
or not about Hillary.
No, it's just not going to be. But the pussy word was important, I think, in terms of pop culture, because that was so crude. It turned an entire state, Utah, which is full of Mormons, who don't like those kind of that speech, right, against him. They are the only Republicans in Congress that have consistently voted against Trump because of that audio tape.
Wow.
So actually what you're saying is interesting. Words are important, and that pussy word really took him over the edge for a lot of people.
Well, right. Mormons, you know, it's not saying they won't do it. It's just they won't talk about it.
Yes. It's how wasps are at the dinner table.
They have a lot of kids.
Yeah. And they have a lot
they're
of wives.
Doing something.
No, question mark. But well, the good thing is at least they're walking the walk about not wanting to talk about it.
That's true.
You know, they have some balls because they're standing up for at least they're saying we're not going to just allow this, which a lot of Republicans are. So, you know, you think about the FCC and words and censorship, and I was almost going to be a First Amendment lawyer. So I have like a very hard, strong belief in the constitutional cases in Supreme Court about First Amendment. Right. And, you know, having the word pussy out there by Trump will forever be indelible in the minds of what kind of president this guy is, what kind of human he is.
Yeah. Well, you know, though it happened a long time ago, but I think it shows sort of like the view.
Yeah.
Of the
and remember,
world.
It wasn't that he could just grab him by the just saying the word pussy. It was that he could grab them because he's rich. He could grab them
right.
by the
right.
pussy.
Because he's now, rich that's and fucked famous. Up. That's he can do anything up. He
right.
wants. Right.
Remember the whole it. Context. Right. Yeah. Because right. that's even worse.
Because he came off and tried to say, well, this was locker room talk.
Which
it was
is
between two guys
bullshit.
In private. Well, not really, because I've been involved in lots of locker room talk before, and it goes on.
Totes.
But then I started thinking about it. I could still play hockey, and in the locker room where we are now, you could have our conversation right here, there's no problem.
Right.
But I thought about, when's the last time I heard locker room talk like that?
Yeah, and he's 70.
Maybe in my 20s.
He was 69 at the time.
In my 20s.
Exactly.
But not in my 50s
right.
or
he's
60s.
He's a 70-year-old man saying that.
Right.
Right.
And that
yeah.
was the frightening
That's
part.
Really weird.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah. Well, you know. So the show's The Writer's Block.
It is.
Tell us a little bit
yeah,
about that.
Straight away.
No, I will. I will, because I get tired of the politics sometimes.
You know? Oh, yeah.
But no, because we've chewed on it a million times already.
Yeah.
You know?
No, totally. I just,
oh,
yeah.
Before we stray.
Okay.
Back to my show.
Okay.
I was watching a program last night with Leah Remini. It's Scientology.
I love her. She and I are friends.
Oh, are you?
Yeah,
really?
We met a couple times.
Oh, she's cool.
She seems very cool.
She's the
but
nicest.
Then, not how it
she
started.
Comes to stand
then
up.
We started
yeah.
doing, and well, Jerry is my researcher. She does everything. She started looking at all this stuff, and she found there's a huge connection between the Church of Scientology and Donald Trump.
Really?
And that did not surprise me.
Well, I was going to say, I don't feel that very surprised by that.
I don't
somehow.
Think anybody would
be very
surprised.
It's all connections.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Wow.
Writer's block. What do you want to know?
Wait a minute.
Did I do that well?
About Scientology if you want.
Oh, you'd get me started in Scientology.
Yeah,
it'll be the entire
been
hour.
To death as well. We'll talk about fresh things today.
Okay. Yeah.
And so forth. But a little bit, let's give you the plug. I mean, that's why you're here, other than to chat and stuff.
Yes.
But actually, you're here to chat first, and then we plug the show, because we're really good friends. I mean, we've known each other. Russ, we've known each other for 7 years, maybe 8 years.
At least.
Yeah. And, well, it has to be just by the location we were at. I would say, about 6-7 years, Russ.
How long have we been in this?
This location,
this
4 years.
Four, and we were at least
the station
3 years
has
at
existed.
The other station.
Yeah, yeah.
At the
least.
Other location, I should say.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
two,
seven,
two,
8 years.
2 years, and then 2 years, yeah. But anybody, nobody cares. But
that's true.
Yeah, I see we lost Tori somewhere there in the past.
I was really thirsty. I apologize. It was like Moses in the desert.
I think she fell asleep on the side of the road with a blinker on.
We're starting
I was drinking. That was it.
We're arguing about a year. Who cares, really? Seven years. We've known each other for a while, Russ. So you're a good friend, obviously. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do. Like, what do you do daily now?
I wake up every morning. and just in time to listen to Sam in the Morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then okay. I go back to sleep.
Yeah. Really? That's all you need, baby.
No, I, well, I, as we talked about briefly about Jim's dog, Bella, I'm a dog trainer.
Uh-huh.
And I also have a boarding facility out in the city of Fillmore called All Dogs Rule. Day camp and sleepovers. We have a 20-acre ranch out there, and basically my life is just taking care of dogs.
Oh, my God. He's my God.
Yeah, you're Tori's idol now.
Except I have to clean this up a little bit. His 20-acre boarding facility is technically in the city of Fillmore.
Okay.
But it's actually halfway between Fillmore and the Canadian border.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It is way the hell out there.
Wow. But so, yes, that's awesome.
On Grand Avenue.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And what kind of dogs do you board any or train? Is it anyone? Any kind?
You name it.
Wow.
Yeah, we do it. And then we also breed border collies.
Nice. Okay. They're the smartest dogs in the world.
Well, I won't argue with you.
Yeah. That and poodles, really? But border collies
are very smart.
Border collies are most smartest dogs in the world.
Can I touch on something? Because I have this conversation with my classes, my students all the time. And that is that when it comes to talking about the intelligence of dogs, how do you determine that?
Yeah, you're right.
You don't give them an SAT.
Right, but to me, it's like the instinct of the border collie is more in communication with the human than any other.
Like the responsiveness maybe to you?
No, but you know what? Talk about Bella and her responsiveness to you.
Oh, she's excellent.
Yeah, she's in tune.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
But what you can talk about is the trainability of a dog, because that's something that you can quantify. You can look at it. So, okay, this dog took me
that's
this long to teach. So I try to avoid talking about the intelligence, but, you know, it is generally considered that it is the smartest dog. They are incredibly focused to the point, I mean, they're obsessive.
Yeah, I was going to say that they can go over the edge. Like, I've seen some dog whispers where border collies become obsessed with, like, a shadow or a light moving.
Yes, I had
and,
one.
Okay, and then it becomes they will not look, and they won't eat. They'll follow this light and shadow wherever.
Yes,
so
absolutely
reflective
true.
Images, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is amazing because you're sort of like a dog whisperer. I mean, that's what you do. You communicate with dogs, which is amazing to me. How do you learn something like
that? Well, when you whisper to them, they can't hear you very well.
Exactly, so he shouts.
you have to talk.
And my first dog was deaf, so that was really difficult.
That's so funny. Sign dog language. Shouter, the dog yeller.
The dog yeller.
Yeah. The old yeller. But we shouldn't do that.
But I can see sign language working with the dog.
Yeah, you do a lot of shepherds do that with sign language.
Yeah, yeah.
For the sheep, they whistle and they do, you know.
Oh, really? Sure.
Oh, the cops do that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And then also,
for canines.
People say, well, can I teach my dog the words in Spanish instead? I said, you can teach them anything you want.
Yeah, you can say booga booga.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you are teaching them a language.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're showing them
just like the
connection.
Parents would, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A child.
So my dog, which is amazing, she's a three-legged dachshund, which is very low to the ground anyway.
Yes. Well, but at least she doesn't have far to fall.
Yeah, she doesn't have far to fall, but I do have a thing with her. When we go to Cedars-Sinai and do the pooch program, and I go like this, you ratted me out, Fredo. You ratted me out. And what I do is I take a fake gun, which I probably shouldn't do in the hospital, but it's just my hand and it's from Godfather, and I go bang bang, and she turns around and like falls over and people great. Like love it, but it's I'm not saying anything, it's all it's the sign language that we worked on, you know what I mean?
How cool is
that? But I probably shouldn't have a fake like air gun. I mean
did you say you were getting a 3D leg for her?
It turns out prosthetics aren't very useful.
They're not
for dogs.
What
that
about
are
a wheel, like some of those Facebook stuff where they put a wheel on the
wheels, we got a wheelchair for
no, I had my Appaloosa horse. We were out at Paramount Ranch, and we were coming down the back, the old Coyote Trail is what it's called, and we came around this corner, and there was this dog on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The rear end.
Yeah.
And my horse was going blind at that point, but he could still see well enough to see that, and that was not natural to him. And that puppy started backing up, and this was a 1,200-pound animal.
Dang.
Yeah. Big, huge horse.
Yeah, because it's a different smell, it's a different movement. Yeah.
Never seen anything move like that.
I virtually had to get off of him and walk him past the dog.
Whoa.
So he would kind of
Josie, when she got tested to be at Cedars, we had to go through tests where people pretended to be in wheelchairs.
Right.
And then had to pretend to be on walkers because a lot of dogs don't like that. So and then they had to pretend to be old and like hold a cane and be like, I don't want you in this hospital, but it's just like people pretending.
Yeah.
So she can't make a noise and she just has to be really relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I was amazed when Bella went through her canine good citizenship test.
Yeah, right? We did that too.
Yeah.
And, she did everything, and then we had to walk through the patio, and she had to leave the other people alone. And I'm thinking the whole time, oh, great, this dog is just going to totally screw this up. Nope.
She did great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I find, too, it's very interesting, but dogs seem to know when certain things are supposed to happen.
Yep.
Because I just, 3 weeks ago, passed a Bernese Mountain Dog, he's 13 months old, and nobody thought this dog was going to make it. They thought, okay, certain things you can do, but when they go for this loose leash walk, and you cannot use a gentle leader, you have to use just a regular flat collar.
Yeah, with a loose leash, really loose.
And she walked her dog around the patio. We do it at a Starbucks because lots of people sitting outside. And this dog walked through there like a champ, came back, and the girl looked at me and she says,
"He's never done.
Oh, my God. What happened to my dog?"
Sometimes I feel like they know they're being tested and they want to shine. Yeah. Like Carly, when she won the German short hair, she won the Westminster, and she was doing, they were showing her, and all of a sudden she lifts her pointer and points, and everyone's like, "Wah!" Because she's like, "I know I'm in the spotlight." You know what I mean?
Right. Now, Russ, I wanted to ask you, because I was always curious about this. Now, if the dog has already developed habits, never been trained before, can you still train that dog? Like, an example I have is we had a Chihuahua. It was never trained. So it would bark a lot and be very
yappy,
very aggressive.
And yappy, yeah.
At people, right?
Yeah.
So my question is, let's say after they've already got accustomed to behaving like that, can you help change that?
Yes.
100%.
Really? Wow. You can change it. Now, how much effect you can have is dependent upon the individual dog.
Right. But their temperament too, right?
Well, there's a lot involved there. But one of the things that we talk about is something called counter conditioning. And counter conditioning is where you teach the dog to respond differently to the same stimulus. Because if your Chihuahua, say, for example, was barking every time it would see a person.
Right.
Okay, there's going to be people around. There's nothing you can do about that. So the thing that you can do is you can change the way the dog views these things. For an example, if I came walking up to you.
Well, the same way you would say to a person, you know? I mean, think about it. The key to happiness is not what happens to you, but how you view what is happening to you. And look what you say, the same thing.
Wow. Sure, except that to say that to a person and have them actually take it to heart and put it to work, not always going to happen, right? But if I came up to you on the street and I walked up to you and I pulled my fist back, you don't know who I am. I just walk up to you and pull my fist back. What's your going to be reaction?
Right. I'm going to try fight or flight.
Right. So you're going to duck out of the way.
Right.
But suppose I pull my fist back and then I hand you a $100 bill and I walk away.
Right. So I associate that with a reward.
Right. And if it happens enough times, pretty soon I'm going to come up to you, pull my fist back, and you're just going to put your hand out looking for the $100.
Right.
And so that's what you do
so
with
it's
the dog.
So the Pavlov dogs thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
But you know, in the short answer, yes, you can. You can affect the behavior of the dog, even if it's older.
And I've seen like the Dog Whisperer do it in seconds. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen him in person, and I've heard wonderful things about him. But you see, like this old dog barking, and the second he changes the energy and from a dog that's leaderless to needing a leader, suddenly the dog was like very happy to be, you know, submissive.
Right.
So you can sometimes it's just psychologically knowing the animal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, do you use negative reinforcement too, where it's like you'd punish the dog for something?
Not really.
No, right? Doesn't work?
Well, think about this. Every behavior results in a consequence. Everything you do, everything a dog does, there's a consequence to every behavior. So you have to look at the behavior you're trying to change and figure out what is the consequence that is pleasing to the dog, because that's why he's repeating the behavior.
Right.
And if you can give it an unpleasant consequence, not necessarily hurtful, but just unpleasant.
Right.
Okay. Like, okay, you have me on your show, and let's say we do this a few times. Right. And then one day I just get pissed at you and I throw my bottle of water at you and I slam in the door and walk out. Now, from the standpoint of, is that good radio? Yeah, you'd probably have me back.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. That's radio gold.
I'm totally into it.
Put him in the video studio.
Yeah. But, let's freaking do it. Yeah.
But as far as you personally, how does that make you feel? It's not a pleasant consequence.
Right.
So you would probably not want to have me back again because that was not a good experience for
you. Right, exactly.
And that's how you can change
that's
things.
That's true, right?
So without hurting them.
Carrot and the stick without really hurting
like
them.
Like if I frown at Josie, she'll know. If I'm like, she'll know.
Bella, too, if you even raise your voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, she's like right there in your lap, her head down, her tail down.
You don't have to do much. Yeah.
Very interesting.
She's now, a
Jim,
pleaser.
Jim, you're
Sam.
you know a lot about horses.
I do.
An equine type of person.
Yes.
Right? So let's talk a little bit about horses, okay, too. Dogs are fascinating to me. Still, I haven't gotten myself to actually be able to live with a dog. I love other people's dogs, but I don't want to have one, you know?
That's
kind
fine.
Of like when people don't want to have kids.
Hey, you know? Yeah. Hey, totally understandable.
Yeah. No. You know, but I do appreciate it. I think some people do go overboard with their dogs where, you know, they'll bring it into, like, for example, here in a building, you know, they don't allow dogs. So if people bring dogs and even if they allowed it, think about it. I mean, not everybody is into dogs as much as you are, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you come in, it leaves dog hair and everything. People come in, it's not a pleasant experience. So you got to respect other people, too. And I find that many dog owners are not like that.
Especially in Los Angeles.
Right?
Oh, it's terrible.
And they're dressing their dogs, and the dog feels ridiculous.
Yeah. But, look, we just lost a dry leaf from our money tree. But this money tree has existed for 9
Wait,
years.
Wait, is that supposed to be good that the money tree dropped a leaf or bad?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing.
All right.
One drops off and five more.
It's probably saying, water me.
Yeah.
This thing is being watered to death. Are you kidding me?
No, hey, Hassan, water me.
All right, man. We'll do that.
That's so funny.
So, Jim, a little bit about horses. Mm-hmm. When did you grow up with horses?
No,
when
I got into horses. How old am I? 25 years ago.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So later in your life, you decided, well, it's not later in your life, but not as a kid, you found a fascination with them?
I've always been fascinated with them. I just didn't really have time to mess with them.
Right. So then you decided...
I had the time, I had the means, I had the money, and I figured, okay.
But do you really need to have the money just to ride horses?
No, not a lot. You can go rent them.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You know.
But is that what you did in the beginning then?
No, actually.
So you jumped in.
I did.
And bought a horse?
I did. I bought a 9-year-old Arabian mare.
Wow. What was his name?
Her.
What was her name?
Her name was... Her listed name was O.A. Murata.
Oh.
But everybody called her Mariah.
Mariah.
She was a backyard pet out of Sunland.
Mm-hmm.
Had been her whole life consisted of eating carrots and chasing rabbits. So when I got her, she was green broke. When I got her, I started saddling her and moving her out, and she wouldn't cross water. And finally one day, they threw a butt rope on her. And
got her
in, and she launched all four straight in the air with me on her in the middle of the river. Took off, and then I found out that in the river bottom down in Santa Clarita, I don't know, whichever river it is. But anyway, there's tons of rabbits. Not a good thing for a horse that likes to chase rabbits.
No.
So as you're moving briskly down this trail, this rabbit takes off, and Mariah, of course, goes. And that she did that about twice, and then we got her out of that. But she turned out to be one hell of a horse. She'd never been trained.
Oh, wow.
Other than, you know, just basic stuff.
I mean, I watched a dog whisperer meet the horse whisperer on an episode of the Dog Whisperer, because dog whispering and horse whispering are very, very similar.
It's probably the same.
I was going to say, they are incredibly, it's all energy.
But I had never trained a horse before, and the gal I bought him from, she only cost me like $600.
Oh, really?
And she was, I mean, just a gorgeous horse.
Wow.
And
you can't buy one for this price today.
No, not now. But she said, look, I'll keep your money, give you 90 days with the horse. If you guys are working okay, then I'll go ahead and cash your check. I said, okay, fine. So at the end of 90 days, she brought me the envelope with all the papers from the American Arabian Horse Association and all that. And in it was a check for $600. And I said, no, this is yours. She goes, no, that horse has always been yours.
Really?
Yeah, so I got her for nothing. But I taught her out of an 1862 United States Cavalry Manual.
Whoa.
I went A to Z.
Whoa.
And so
that horse is ready for like the Civil War.
Oh, she would do anything virtually. Wow. And then I took her to mounted shooting.
Wow.
And so she could do all of that.
Wow. That's so cool.
And at 19 years old, after I'd gotten rid of her, at 19 years old, she ran the Tevis Cup, which is a 100-mile race.
Wow.
95 horses entered. She came in number 15.
Wow.
That's pretty good. Damn. That's very good.
And she was 19 years old?
She was 19 years old.
Oh, my God. Wow. At 19 years old as a human, I couldn't do that.
But right. Arabians live into their 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Really?
Wow. Yeah, okay. She's about middle age.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, very cool.
But I've had horses for a long time. So, not anymore.
You've made a life out of this, right? Out of being with a horse.
Yeah.
Now, when you bought it, did you immediately live with the horse?
No.
Or no, you had to have a...
She was actually boarded in Fillmore.
Boarded, yeah.
At the equestrian center.
There. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was really, it's really nice because you just go down a little hill and boom, you're in the river bottom and you can ride.
So
you can ride to Piru, you can go anywhere.
How cool is that to ride next to a river, you know? I mean,
oh, no, you're in the river.
You're in the river?
In the river bottom. It's a huge, wide river basin.
You're like in the canyon.
Oh, a dry river.
Yeah, and some Piru Dam twice a year lets water out.
Okay.
And it goes right down the center of the river, and, I mean, it can get
deep. How cool is that?
I used to ride and jump with competitively horses, and, man, there was nothing. When I went to Colorado and did a dude ranch, and we used to play hide-and-seek on horseback in the aspen leaves.
We did that, too.
And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever... I'll never forget it. It was, like, second best day of my life, and I was, like, 12, and I still remember that day.
Right. Yeah, one time we had a whole bunch of people, and we all went out. It was really hot outside. So, and the river, the Piru just let a whole bunch of water out. So it was, the river was probably around 4 or 5 feet deep and 20, 30 feet wide. And so we decided that we're all going to wear shorts, tennis shoes, throw our saddles on and go down the middle of the river to cool off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Never do that again.
Why?
Well, you get all kinds of sand up in your shorts. And, oh, my God.
It's so muddy. Yeah.
Oh, and it's just like, oh. By the time you get off the horse, you're just shraft raw.
Wow. Very fascinating. You know, I mean, animals and stuff you guys have chosen to. Do you maintain good human relations too, Russ?
Between
humans?
Yeah, we're actually pretty good friends.
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
no, I didn't mean between the two of you. I meant Russ, like, relating to people. I mean, once you're used to training dogs and they listen to you.
Do you know what? Well, honestly, and Jim, I know where he's going to go with this. Tell him what you were going to say.
What?
No, about training dogs.
Well, he doesn't train dogs.
He trains
owners.
People.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
And you have to have a good relationship with people if you're going to train them how to train their dog.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. So that's amazing. Now that we covered that and everything, for those of you just joining us, we're joined by Russ Everson, who sits on the show The Writer's Block once a month, and Jim Christina, who is the host of the show, The Writer's Block. You can catch it here Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific, or, of course, the archives, where most people listen, actually.
We actually have done 2 years now. We got 2 years under our belt.
Wait, we had this last week?
Last week, we had our 100th live show.
Mazel tov.
I know, huh?
Shalom aleichem.
And we're actually booked up through middle of January next year.
Wow.
Wow, yeah, so it's become highly popular.
Very cool. Well, we're enjoying having you here, and we've become very good friends,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we have.
Not the kind of friends that actually go as wingmen to pick up chicks.
No.
But...
well, you'd have to convince my wife that it's okay to do that.
I didn't know that was an option.
But it is a connection, that, and, you know, you sort of have bromance with people. Really cool.
I think that's so funny that as soon as, again, we're talking about words, as soon as the word bromance came out, it was, like, cool. It was like, it was like all of a sudden it was fine.
Because it described
the
relationship.
It was like perfect. Totally. But how funny is it that it took a certain word to make it all okay?
Right.
Before it was like kind of weird, but like my husband would go have a matinee where it was like friends and they'd go see a matinee, but there was no word. And then bromance came and he's like, yeah, okay, this is much better.
Yeah, that describes it.
Yeah,
there you go. Very cool.
Yeah,
well, remember the film Man, I Love You?
I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man.
Yeah, and that kind
of
brought it up.
There you go.
It was great.
Yeah, guys have been friends for years.
Yeah, but they needed a thing.
But we needed a thing, you know?
You got the thing.
Yeah, now we have
good
the
observation,
thing.
Tori.
Anytime, guys. I'm good for something.
Now we have the thing and everybody's happy.
That's right.
Now, lately we've been talking on the show a lot. Somehow we always end up with a topic about God and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So since you guys are here and stuff, let's, because those are often very fascinating discussions as we've discovered. Russ, let's start with you. What do you think, as far as what explanations make more sense to you? God or science or somehow both? How do you see these things? What gets you through life?
Well, we just got deep, guys.
Interesting.
We just got deep. I like
it. Yes.
I would say prior to the election of Donald Trump.
Free Trump.
My friend Russ decided he wanted to turn around and go back to Canada.
Yeah. I was going to say, he has Canadian citizenship, I bet. Yeah. This lucky guy.
No, to be honest with you, I'm not a believer in God. Uh-huh. I grew up in an interfaith family. My dad, Jewish, my mom, Catholic.
Oh, wow.
And so I went to a Sunday school for interfaith families, and we learned all about Christian life, and then we also celebrated Hanukkah.
That's
and I
cool.
So you get
Hebrew
to see both, really. Yeah.
Right. So, wow. But after Triple getting whammy. Past all that and actually starting to think for myself, I don't see that religion is anything but probably something created to control the masses.
Right.
So I do not believe in God. Are there powers beyond our knowledge? Absolutely. I don't have any doubt about that. But is there a being that controls things? I doubt it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what we've been hearing more and more and more.
Right.
This sort of general, what you're saying is, I don't know what it is. Do I believe in a being with a hat that sits in a cloud? No. I have a mixture between it, and it's almost more spiritual, and there's something unknown, but we don't know what it is, but it's certainly not controlling things.
Right. Yeah. Jim, how do you feel about this before we continue the discussion? Let's see how do you view this?
Well, I mean, I was raised a Catholic, so, you know.
I'm sorry.
I'm part of that Dago brood. And, you know, and going to parochial school, you quickly learn to hate God.
Yeah, right?
I'm kind of ambivalent towards it now. I mean, I've grown up, and I, like Russ, I got to think for myself.
Right.
And it didn't really show me a whole lot of promise anywhere other than I figured out early on that Jesus was a pretty good magician.
Okay.
I think he found ways of harnessing the power that was available at the time and used it.
Okay.
I don't think he was anything magical. I think that he was a really good guy, and he knew how to manipulate, and he knew how to teach.
Right, but you don't see him as the Son of God.
I do
and
not.
All that, whatever they teach
not.
In the church.
And that's one thing of my right. priest now, when I was a kid, if he heard me say that, he'd probably come back alive and
right.
rip off the rest of the skin and took off my ass.
Who's coming in now? No, yeah.
Right. And Jim, so how do you explain to yourself what's behind this? How did this all start? Russ said, I believe there are forces beyond, but it's not a being. How do you view this?
I think that the big religious thing started through subjugation, and I really do believe that, because at one point, everybody had multitude of gods. I mean, everybody had gods for the wind, the rain,
right, all the idols. And
exactly.
Right.
But there were certain races of people, the Jews being one, well, actually the big one at the time, were subjugated in Egypt, and they needed something to believe in.
Right.
Beyond the Egyptians, which weren't giving them much.
Right, right.
So I think that's probably where a lot of it started.
Right.
And then as the masses grew and people broke off and they became, you know, they became Hebrew here and then became whatever they call them, Anamites or whatever over there, and Philistines over here. And
right, right.
Everybody's belief was different.
Right.
Muslims, the same thing. You know,
right.
the New Testament or the Old Testament and Quran are a lot alike.
Right, right.
And you know,
they all take from the Old Testament, of course. You know, but you see, when I asked that, notice how people when I mentioned God, you went to religion. Now the thing is this: you see, to me, there is God, but it's not religion. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between faith in God,
that's
okay,
true.
And religion, and subscribing to the stories and everything.
But you have to say,
or interpreting everything literally.
Well, but religion and God, you have to understand, like, are sort of intertwined.
For many people,
for
there
many
are.
People,
but
for but you,
for,
you're
for
saying.
For me, I'll tell you what yeah. God is. It's when I read in the science books, for example, that out of everything that ever existed and will exist, we only know 5% of it, which means this is even the stuff that we know that we don't know, okay? Mm-hmm. Only 5%, okay? 27% is what they call dark energy.
Now, is that true?
Or dark matter.
Or did you just pull that number out of your
butt? No, I swear to you. I just got a book which I highly recommend called We Have No Idea. And it explains things. It explains, for example...
It's the story of my life.
Yeah right? I was going to say, hashtag my life.
But it's actually a very fun science book to read. Very fun, because it's illustrated, too, and everything.
Oh, Trump would like
it. Yeah, probably,
he likes
right.
his pictures.
But no, they explained to me, finally, dark matter and dark energy, which you realize... So after you take the 5% of all that we know, right? And then you take 27% of of dark matter, the rest of it, which is 70-some percent, we have no idea what it is. That is still there. Now, you know, and scientists are saying this to you. So my question is, what is it? What is it that's there that we don't know?
Well, I think
that,
we're not
that in 14 billion years took a little grain... Okay, that apparently scientists are saying it all started from a little grain, okay? Because everything is expanding. So if you go back, you realize it had to started in one point, which was very dense, and exploded. That's the Big Bang.
But that begs the question, what was prior to that little piece of rice?
Thank you.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, there was God before there was a creation of the universe as we know it. You see, the 14 billion years, we're only talking about what we know. What happened before or after? I mean, time is our invention, really, when you think about it.
Sure it
right?
is.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what I'm saying. I mean, in a place where there's the intelligence that creates something like this, there's no past or future. Think about it. If you look, let's say, if you look at like something like a video game, like The Sims or something, okay, and you look at the world from the top, and you realize people take some forever to get from one place to the other, but for you, it all happens at the same time. You know what I'm saying? No, maybe you don't know what the hell I'm saying.
No, because I'm not a video game guy.
No. Okay, but I tried to explain just looking at things from above.
Well, you know, if you...
Where there's no concept of time.
Going by that theory, then, I mean, if you want to, you know, the definition of God, if you want to, it's you.
Right.
You're... Your own God.
Right. You're the reflection of what God is, right?
Well,
or the evidence.
Your idea is the reflection of what God is. It could be real, right. It could not be real.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know. Obviously, we don't know. That's why we're just asking opinions. I don't think, and it's interesting to always find, I mean, we do have the commonality here of that we grew up with religion. And you know, and that affected a lot of how become as adults.
But notice, Sam, every time we bring this up, which so fascinating is, from young people to old people, it is, I believe in something, but I don't think organized religion has really helped.
Exactly.
That has been the commonality between every guest that we've talked to.
Right.
There has been, not that it hasn't helped, it has been good, but that it causes, or it comes from trying to manipulate the people.
Right.
And that's
accurate. I mean, that's what that,
right.
that's historically accurate, but well, I think this next generation, as I've said before, is going to be a much more secular, scientifically based, much more interested in stuff like dark matter than organized religion.
Right,
I really believe
right.
that.
Well, organized religion has done a lot of things in this world, and over the centuries, it's done. I mean, they propagated wars, they've pogroms of
Inquisition,
Russia,
the Crusades,
Crusades.
Right. Right, but that's what I'm saying. But there were good things with it, and I think that's why it's worked. Because, like you said, to manipulate people or control people, I think it was to actually keep them together,
and to help
so they can survive,
right.
in groups in societies.
Agreed. I think that's why it was born out of like a faith that we all needed to stay together in a tribal community, believing in one thing, which I think is wonderful.
One other thing is the fear of the unknown,
right.
which is our death.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And how can you go through your life
not
thinking
knowing.
this is it. There's nothing else.
So you have to believe in something, you say.
It gives people a feeling of safety and comfort.
A hope.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, why does there have to be something? In other words, to bring it down to a level that we probably can all somewhat relate to, when you work with a dog, there is an energy. There is something going on between the communication that's very much nonverbal, non-visual.
Mm-hmm.
I compare it to being at say you're at a dinner party. There's a lot of people standing around having drinks, and then a person walks in the room through the front door. You've never seen this person ever in your life. And you look at them and you go, I don't like this
I don't
person.
Like this person. They're I was evil. Gonna say I don't like that person.
Right. Yeah. How did you know that?
Yeah, it's just
there's
an energy.
Some that,
it's
yeah. a it is.
There's
and with
energy,
the dogs
you think?
They're and with the dogs that in particular energy. And with the horses, I'm sure, Jim, that you get a communication. And,
right.
And it's something that you can't really explain. So instead of looking at and saying there's an entity that controls all of this, why does there have to be? Why can't
be
everything
energy.
Be the entity?
Sure.
This existence is
right.
the entity.
Absolutely.
And
but
it's all the flowing energy
which I
between
think is,
all of this.
Which I think right. is what really is the new millennials' take on religion is it's all energy. I mean, it's Buddhist-based. It's yogic-based. I mean, this is anciently based mm-hmm. about energy. This is sort of coming back around instead of like an organized religion. This is what people are more interested in. Right. An energy-based
well,
world.
You know what? And I think animals being on a more base level than humans yeah. are, because we tend to overthink everything.
Right.
We disavow our feelings to do what we know we shouldn't be doing.
Right.
Animals don't do that.
Right.
Animals are able to read whatever energy is there, and they respond to that.
And remember, right. they stay in the now 24/7 at all times.
Yes. There is no yeah. They have memories, because I can walk up to a horse that I used to have right now, and she'll remember me.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But so
a good example is a gal in England that had to sell a horse off, and she got it back 5 years later.
Really?
And she wanted to know, and she put it in her pasture with her other horses that were around when this horse was sold off. And
right.
she said, "I wonder
they
what's going to happen."
It?
They went right up to her, and it was like old home week.
Yeah,
wow.
Because it's yeah, sent. It's to them.
Right.
To me, it's magic. Because
so okay. So what do you think that is, Russ? I mean, you know, you guys want to talk about like one being, one this
energy,
right? Energy, whatever. So do you believe that? So you believe there's actually energy that continues after you die, right? That you don't really die as in a form. You're just different energy in a different form.
Well,
maybe?
How do you explain ghosts?
Well, what's that?
How do you explain ghosts?
I don't.
Well, I don't know.
Some people don't believe in ghosts.
Yeah,
I don't explain ghosts because I don't think they really exist in the form that people describe them.
Come to
I
my
do
house
believe,
and get rid of the one out of my hallway.
Okay, I will. Listen, I do believe in souls, though.
Yeah.
I do believe in the soul. Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's an energy thing.
Okay, so you don't know. We didn't ask if you know or not. I asked, do you believe?
I know. You always do this, and you always
right.
ask that. You say,
but it's about
not
believing.
What you know or do you believe. Now, I think if I had to give you an answer, I do believe, and I think it's because I want to believe, and
yes.
there's hope. But I really, cognitively, and I'm a neurocerebral person, and an academic person, I don't know. And I don't know if I don't know the answer and I don't have the proof, I can't say. Although I want to believe is the answer I can give you. I want to believe.
True philosophical
so
answer.
Yeah.
So faith works for you, though. I mean, right? You want to believe. I'm not. Don't confuse yes. faith with religion, please.
No, I feel.
Faith
no, I know.
Faith is
yes.
meaning I believe there's
hey,
God.
Hey, I came
out, there.
Out to. I'm trying to be a stand-up. I have a lot of faith. I'm trying to be like an actor. Suppose that takes a whole lot of faith.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. I do believe in faith. I do believe in guardian angels, and I do talk to my, you know, relatives that have passed. So I don't know if I'm doing it or if they're listening, but yeah, there's these tendencies to like reach out to something else there.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying we can't be just scientific as much as we want to. We're not creatures of only. I think we have like a gene, a God gene there that makes us wonder about this. Why do we have a feeling?
It's probably curiosity. You know, that's probably the gene.
Tori,
yeah,
I'm
but whatever.
To what you were saying about talking to, you know, your guardian angels, and I think it comes out of the fear of being alone.
100%. Oh my God, 100%.
And so we do this. Little kids
right.
make up
imaginary friends
yeah. because they don't want to be alone. They need something for comfort. And I think as adults, we all do the same.
And that's
thing.
Why, yeah, people make up, I think, UFOs and aliens because we need to have, like, feel we're not alone, you know?
You mean
in the universe. In the
oh,
universe.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's any aliens or anything like that.
Well, you don't. Actually, I have this whole.
I do. I think you got a great hook.
I believe
a new
in
book.
Aliens for sure.
Yeah.
I think you do. Your new book should be entitled simply The God Gene.
There
yeah.
is a book called The God Gene.
Listen, I didn't make it up. I read it.
Yeah, I read this book.
There's a book and there was an article in Time magazine.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, but the thing is that absolutely, I didn't make it up. But I think that we do have in our DNA of human beings the need to understand
yes.
and to believe
yes.
there's something there. Yes.
Even Neanderthals that were drawing were trying to represent something. These people had no concept of anything other than they needed to articulate what they're seeing in time and space. That's
right.
a Neanderthal.
Right.
Cavemen are doing that.
Right.
So humans, no matter what, have always had that tendency to be curious and to question their world. That's different than animals.
Right.
That's the difference.
Right. And that's, and maybe that's what we're here for, to question these things.
I can't believe you don't believe in aliens.
I don't believe in aliens at all.
You think it's
they
just us?
They believe in you, Sam.
What's that?
They believe in you.
Well, that's cool.
They've been hanging around house for the last 2.5 years.
Let's put it this way, yeah. Tori. If we'll never find out and they'll never find us, they might as well not exist.
But then you can say that about God.
What's that?
If you never know, and then you do, and you never know, then you can say it doesn't.
No
exist.
One ever finds out.
Exactly.
It's like,
well, no one's come back to tell us.
If a tree falls in the forest, there's nobody there to hear it.
Doesn't
make a noise.
But that's not true, because the thing is, I think here we have evidence that God exists in a certain way.
That's the question.
We do. What's the So what you're saying is, in 14 billion years, okay, it's possible that from the Big Bang we would have something so intelligent, such as our universe, the way everything works, the way the sun works, and we have a self-contained ecosystem.
But that's all done by gravitational pull.
Oh, so all that is from cosmic dust.
Well, a scientist like Neil deGrasse Tyson would say, yes. What's your scientific proof that there is a God?
What's that?
What's your scientific proof that there is a God?
God is not about science.
But when you say there's proof, there isn't proof with God. That's why people have a hard
time. What I'm saying is, you know what? Actually, that's a great question. So let's continue next time. Guys, you're invited back. We'll continue where we left off.
Okay.
Okay, because we're totally freaking out of time, man.
Totally freaking out of time,
Yes. This goes by.
Tell us how people...
OT.
Yes.
Right. Totally fucking out of time.
We got a new concept out of all this. You wanted a title for a book, you got one.
Yeah. I know.
Maybe not the God
totally
gene.
Totally freaking out of time.
Yeah. All right, folks.
The story of LA Talk Radio.
Tell us quickly how people can find you guys.
We can catch us at the Writer's Block page right here at LA Talk Radio. They can find me at jimchristina@yahoo.com. JimChristina.net, which is my website, or blackdogpublishing.co.
Nice.
Yes, and read his stuff. Wow. He's got some great books out there.
I do.
And Russ, how can people find you?
I'm here.
For
dogs, our boarding facility is All Dogs Rule, and the website is alldogsrule.com. And my training website is caninelogic.net. That's canine spelled with a C in the whole word. So caninelogic.net.
Right. There you go. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure. This was fun.
And yes, thanks for
the clap, Tori.
And you're welcome back. We'll plan again for you guys to come back in a couple of weeks or something.
Okay. Love it.
We'll continue. Tori, thanks as
anytime,
always.
Anytime, love.
For stimulating talk.
Anytime.
And energy in the room, definitely.
Anytime.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.